radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Mark, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. We looked at chapter 1 last time, and as I've pointed out, we're going to try to go through the book of Mark chapter by chapter in a fly-by fashion. I think we will find much here that will thrill our hearts because the Gospel of Mark is a fast-moving account of the Lord's life. And yet, at the same time, it is not just a complement to the other Gospels. It almost seems to be an abridgment since it's so fast. You hear the same stories. However, there's something very profound just beneath the surface. As we go through, we will see it. In chapter 1, we've already seen a few things. The first thing to remember is chapter 1, verse 1. It says, as Mark's own title, he says, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So it's the beginning of the gospel. So there was a beginning. And it was the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a gospel he brings out into the open for the first time ever. The Old Testament was shadows. Now we're coming into the fullness. We know that it is not the gospel that we are most often prone to quote about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus because he hasn't done that yet. This is the beginning of the gospel. There's something deeper, something more profound. And as we plundered chapter 1, we began to see that he came as one who had a prepared way. You may recall, we broke the chapter into three parts, his coming, his calling, and his cleansing. In his coming, he came with a prepared way. And we remember that John the Baptist was the voice of one who prepared the way, makes straight paths. Why? Because the paths were crooked. The old paths were not what they should have been. So he comes, he prepares the way. He made straight paths. And he called the people to be baptized and to repent. And the repentance that he called them to was a metanoia, a changing of the mind. What was their minds set on that needed to be changed? Their minds needed to be changed from thinking this kingdom that the Christ would bring in would be a kingdom wherein they would be the celebrants, they were the head, not the tail, that they were going to be the centerpiece of it all. And they were looking for a king who was going to make them become the primary kingdom of the earth. They needed to change their mind because that wasn't what was going to happen. They had never really got on board to see that God desired everyone everywhere to be saved. They saw themselves as the center and everybody else as sort of servants. And so he called them to a repentance, and we saw it very clearly in verse 14 and 15 where it says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So the gospel started with the message about the kingdom of God. And these people needed to change their minds about being primary and being a superpower in the earth and to get down to the truth that what God wanted them to do in verse 15 was to realize that the time is fulfilled. 483 years of Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled and Messiah would be cut off. And in those 483 years, as they came down to 480th, Jesus shows up and for 3 years he preaches, then he's cut off. And then he tells us the Son of Man will come in his glory, but he's as a man going into a far country. But this gospel of the kingdom was central to Mark's gospel. He says, repent ye and believe the gospel. So now what are they being told to believe? You see, they're told to repent, meaning change your mind from what you were believing, and believe about the gospel of the kingdom. You know, we do now live in the kingdom of God. We just have a dual citizenship. But there's coming a day when Jesus is going to say to those who go through the tribulation, those who at the end of the tribulation have borne the heat of that, he's going to say, enter into the kingdom. Because it's going to be a real kingdom. And it's going to be called, well, another thing, it's going to be called the marriage of the Lamb. We're going to see it in chapter 19 of Revelation. But my point is this. He came, it's the beginning of the gospel, he hasn't died yet, it's the gospel of the kingdom of God that he proclaims, and then he begins to teach the people what was going to be the foundation of it. And John said it in his many words when he says in verse 4 of chapter 1, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. The kingdom of God was going to have at its center the remission of sins. Now, I don't want to go much further. I had to set back into your minds about this kingdom to get you to chapter 2. I won't go over all of chapter 1, but in his coming, he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God. Chapter 2 says, and again. You might underline those two words because this is a continuation of what Jesus had been doing in chapter 1. It says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Now, at the end of chapter 1, people were getting healed and going out and publishing that he was doing some remarkable things. And it got to the point where he could not be in the midst of the city for some time. But after some days, he goes back to Capernaum, and it says, and it was noised that he was in a house. And straightway, many were gathered together, inasmuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. There it is again. He preached. Interesting, if you want to put in your margin for the word preach, the word is laleo. There are several words, but laleo is an interesting word. The word for preach oftentimes is the word keruso, which means to proclaim, like a herald, to herald something. But this is laleo. So he's in a room, as you can imagine, in a house, and he's speaking to the people, but it's laleo. Now the significance of the word laleo is it has the idea of a chat, but it also has the idea of a lyrical kind of a word. Something with jubilance. You can hear la, 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 la. It had that idea. It came to be associated with musical undertones. Now he was not singing to them, but the point is, this is good news. This is the gospel, and he's teaching them. Interestingly, as I said, there's something under the current. And what's under the current is it doesn't tell us what he was teaching. He's there, he's teaching. But he doesn't go into any details. And I think that's significant because what we're going to see throughout the Gospel of Mark is that he makes us want to know. It's almost like baiting you, you know? You just, what? What is it? What do I need to know? So when we're looking at this chapter, I want you to see how he gets us geared up to get an answer, to get a word, and then he makes a quick answer that really sums up everything. So in the first several verses, actually down to verse 13, we're seeing him preaching in a house, and he's laleoing, he's speaking the word to them. And understand this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot change your mind about something without being given something to ponder other than. Their word, their idea, their thought was that the kingdom was going to be theirs. And God's got to change their mind because what we've seen is that they are not the celebrants of the kingdom. No, the bride is the celebrant of the kingdom. And we're going to see that at the end of the chapter of chapter 2 as well. But look what he says in verse 3. It says, and they come unto him bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, and why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, and he took up the bed, and went forth before them all, inasmuch as they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now, I read the full narrative so you could get the flyby. I want you to see what's going on here. Jesus is teaching in a house. And the first heading I want to give to this chapter is I want you to see what he taught. What he taught. You saw back there in chapter 1 that John came preaching repentance for the remission of sins. The changing of the mind of the people was the kingdom was going to be about forgiveness of sins. It was going to be about real liberty, real freedom. And that's where he's going to culminate in chapter 2. He's going to culminate with real freedom. But people in their day thought it was going to be a political deliverance, not a spiritual deliverance. And now what we see is Jesus is in this room and he's teaching. It's so full, nobody can come. And verse 3 says, they came carrying a man on his bed and there were four carrying him. Now I've heard this passage preached upon many times talking about the faith of those four men made it possible for their one friend to get saved, to get his sins forgiven. And they were talking about how we need to all band together and bring people to Jesus. And I think that's a noble effort, but I don't think that's what's being taught here. In fact, when it says, son, thy sins be forgiven, there's an indication that whoever this person is in this bed, is it's very possible he's a young person, because he calls him son. The indication is young man. And also understand this, that these four that were bearing him, if they came to the door and couldn't get in, I personally am looking at this and thinking, it's the guy in the bed saying, we need to get me in there. Do you know what happens when you're laid up? You got a lot of time to think. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. When he saw their faith, it says. So understand that when he saw their faith, there's this long-running narrative that their faith is very conspicuous. Now look at it. It says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy was laid. So this is pretty cool because what's happening is I believe we see this young man laid up and he's not doing well. He's feeling miserable. He's palsied, which means he's paralytic, can't move, but he's young. And I can hear him hearing the scuttlebutt, as they say, out on the street. There's this guy in Capernaum. He's healing everybody. But he's been run out of town. He's in a desert place at the end of chapter 1. But he comes back. Now you can imagine this young man thinking, oh, you know, young people are all full of hope, aren't they? They're just like, nothing can daunt their hope. They're like, oh, what is it? What happened? Who? You know, and these people all knew each other. Oh, Samuel got healed, so and so. And you can see him just crunching the ideas and the thoughts and just going over it. And I can hear him telling his four buddies, guys, you know what I heard? He said this, he said that. And after a season, this guy is lit up and he hears Jesus is coming back. And I believe the driving force of getting this young man to the Lord in that house was himself. That he recruited four fellas, and these four fellas come to the door, they can't get in. He says, man, we got to get in there. I know if I can just get to them. I know. Come on, guys. Come on. Let's go up there. And how do you get guys to start breaking up somebody's roof on their house? They're pulling back the shingles. They're getting out a little hammer maybe, and they're knocking out some wood. Now, they did it differently, but my point is understood here, is it not? He's like, come on, guys. Because he's the guy who's got to go down through the ceiling hole. They're going to be hidden. So they're tearing up everything and letting them down. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, it wasn't just his faith. It was all four of theirs and his. And the reason many times they land on the four is because it says there, but it's all five of them. But I believe what we're seeing here is the young man is the one because he doesn't just heal him. He says, your sins be forgiven you. Because if you're listening to what Jesus has been talking about, it's been about remission of sins. And he's validating his message with healings. And subsequently, he's got these guys lit up. They start letting them down. And he's teaching about remission of sins. He's talking about a kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness that's going to come one day. He says, your sins be forgiven you. And that's what the kingdom is going to be all about.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.